Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Comedy motherfucking legend, motherfucking Elaine, motherfucking Boozler.
And you're
is
allowed
here
to say doink
right
on this show.
You can
doink
say anything you want to on the show.
This really is the happy hour.
Pizza? We can say pizza.
I love that you asked Travis beforehand, do I have to drink? And Travis is like, yes.
Well, there you
have
go.
Have you seen the news today?
I'm very amenable. Yes, but why is tonight different from all other nights? It's not Hanukkah. It's the same every day.
Shit's getting real today.
Oh, no. Shit's getting real today as we're taping this.
It's been getting real for 2 years.
Right? Hasn't this been always like, oh, no, this is it.
Oh, do I need these?
Game over.
No, it's never over.
Yes, do that.
I would do it just in case we play a clip or something.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Comedy legend Elaine Boozler is back by popular demand.
Yeah, we
did a happy hour, but it was
years ago,
behind the paywall. So
and then we used crack then. We weren't drinking.
Exactly.
That was our crack happy hour.
Exactly.
I feel like I'm in a cave. Am I yelling now?
No, you're fine. This is what this podcast is for. If Donald Trump makes you want to drink and swear, this is the podcast for you. So we don't know if we're enablers. We don't know what we are, but yes, you must drink.
Okay.
We find solutions.
Because I have a little crack in my purse if anybody needs.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that legal here now?
So as we're taping this, I mean, what? It's Manafort. What the fuck?
That's what happens when you go to LegalZoom.com for $25.
What's with the redactions? That's not really redacted.
Do you hear what happened was? They didn't file it with full redactions. Like if you
that's
just,
something I do.
If you click on it, the redactions went away. So the reporters were like, wait a minute. And then they refiled it.
It was a mistake.
But they had already downloaded it. Yeah. So everyone just downloaded the redacted copy.
Unredacted copy.
And the unredacted copy to compare to see like, this is what they don't want us to see.
So what he lied about.
It's hilarious.
He was sharing polling data with the Russian operative.
Game over, man. I just love that his lawyer forgot to take it out. He forgot to take it out of the filing.
That's
like a lawyer I would have. Mm-hmm. That's just so bad. That's Jacobian Meyer. I mean, no offense, guys, but
No offense.
You know, when you're at that level, your lawyer should go, I don't think I should leave this in here. It's obstruction of justice and it's tampering with the election.
And didn't he already? I thought I was a techno spaz. Didn't he already do that in some previous thing?
He uploaded everything to the cloud that Mueller had access to.
What
the conversations. That's how they caught him. That's how they caught him.
Remember the old days of AOL? AOL. Oh, when,
that was my "you are an idiot." I'm like, ask Sean. I don't know how to do anything, but I'm like, wow.
What's the point of stealing hundreds of millions of dollars if you don't pay for a good lawyer? That's really, I mean, if you steal it, use it.
And don't you love, like, this is electronic. First of all, like, Michael Cohen's cell phone being in Prague. Like, is there really a defense whereby he's going to say, my cell phone went to Prague without me?
You don't send your phone on vacation?
I left it in a Polish restaurant. I left it at the Russian tea room. Someone must have picked it up.
I don't know what happened.
Speaking of Michael Cohen, there's a headline right now that says Michael Cohen thinks it's checkmate for Trump.
Remember,
Remember when us
liberals were bitching about, you know, warrantless wiretapping under Bush, and Republicans were all like, "Oh, if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't have anything to be worried about." Now, like,
bam,
there you go,
motherfuckers.
There you go. Gets all getting caught on wiretapping.
There you go.
Yeah.
Remember the old days of AOL when you forwarded an email and you just picked the sentences you wanted, and we didn't know, or I didn't in those days, that then afterwards the whole original email was at the bottom.
Yeah.
Right. The things you didn't want. And I had forwarded things that destroyed my life with people.
Oh,
who
no.
Knew?
I
That's
almost
what
fucked
this
up
is.
A very important relationship business wise.
Because they see the bottom.
I thought I was only replying to one person. And
that reply to all
is dangerous.
Uh-huh.
My friend Max Alexander, great comic, he was saying we had been booked and he went, "God, they're really scumbags, aren't they?" But the whole original was on the bottom. And he went, "What should I do?" I said, "Don't do anything." And he literally re-emailed. "I mean the other ones, not you." I said, "That didn't make that better to the woman booking us."
Oh, my God. And you came to my Christmas party. Isn't it amazing, Travis?
The best!
I can still get celebrities to come because my first invitations, I didn't understand blind copy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh.
People do get mad.
Oops.
Yeah. I wish you would send my address to all the celebrities you know, so maybe I get work. But I'm telling you, that was the best Christmas party I've ever, ever. Allie Willis and I spoke the next day. We couldn't get over it.
I was able to say comedy legend Elaine Boozler, comedy legend Lily Tomlin. Discuss amongst yourselves.
She literally dragged me over and said comedy legend Lily Tomlin, comedy legend Jane Wagner.
Yes.
It was
magnificent. Sit, discuss.
16-year-old Travis would have died to be at that party because when I was growing up, I think I've told you this, your specials. And then Julie Brown was here.
Comedy legend, yes.
Judy Tenuta was here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It was like the three wise divas of comedy from when I was a child.
It was, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
But that was the best party ever.
Well, we were talking about, she's been hanging out in New York with Judy Gold. And
Judy
saying,
Gold! I stole her ring. Fuck the patriarchy. I know.
God damn. No, I'm saying, like, we all, like, admire each other and we have people.
We
but
do.
I, but they're just people that fucking make me laugh. You, Judy Gold, like, just people... Right? Judy Julie Brown. Like, just that fucking make me.
Judy Gold almost had a cab driver kill us. We were 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. She goes, "Okay, we're going to Sarah Beth's to get lunch, right?"
Yeah.
"Okay, but across the street. No, further up. And the guy's going, "Look, you paid 10 minutes ago. Get out.
Get the fuck out."
"No, further. Don't you see where it says Sarah Beth? I don't care. Get out." I went, "I'm getting out." You can yell at him. "I'm getting out."
I've seen stories about that Uber driver who killed like 7 people in his car.
Yeah. Was Judy in the
car? Was Judy involved? I'm going to say she was.
Yeah, I think so.
Did he drive her to it?
Yeah.
Did you read her?
I feel like all of us comedy women are backstabbing bitches. Like, we would not No, I'm just kidding.
We're not.
We're a sister.
Rita Rudner has such a funny line about Uber. It's so funny.
Yes.
She says, "My whole life, when I was little growing up, my mother said, 'Don't ever get in a car with a stranger.' She goes, 'Now what do? I stand on a street corner and get into a car that pulls up with a stranger.'" Maybe she said it better, but it was very funny.
She's funny. Yeah. Listen, she's like my comedy sibling. You know how many times my mom has said, like, "Oh, Steffi, why do you have to work so blue? Why can't you be more like that nice Rita Rudner?"
Well,
and she wears a dress.
She does wear a gown.
Twoo.
Twoo.
And I still love her.
Yep.
Anyway, what was I saying? Oh, Judy Gold, I was telling you the story that I was, I could not believe I was sick. I was supposed to do the Gloria Allred Friars Club roast in New York that Judy Gold hosted, but she opened with, we were supposed to be honoring Harvey Weinstein tonight, so I'm going to open with the same joke. Nice tits.
Great joke. Right? Exactly.
Well, you should know, sister, writer of a million great jokes.
Was it a funny roast?
Fadi Bahagandas. I have a photographic memory for your...
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Oh, here's the other thing. Speaking of being starstruck, so everybody at the party was not only starstruck about you.
They were not. Lily was there.
I had friends that were like, "She's married to Bill Siddons? He managed the Doors." And I was like, "Oh, that's my husband, Bill?" I was like, I didn't.
You didn't know Bill?
I'm a geek. No, I work in my basement.
You've known him for...
But I didn't know he managed the Doors.
Yeah, he managed everybody after... You know how we met? We met at Clinton's first inauguration.
Oh, wow.
I was hosting the Constitution Hall Gala the night before the inauguration, a four-hour extravaganza.
Oh.
It was a Constitution Hall Gala for the inauguration and the 20th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. So it was Gloria Steinem, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, Melissa Etheridge, and I was the host for 4 hours with one of my legendary migraines throwing up in between acts into a bag. And
Thanks for that.
Thank you.
Detail.
But if it was TV, I'd show it to you. Oh, but we are on TV, so I can show it to you. Yeah, they show so... I mean, I'm so tired of watching people pee, aren't you? Pee and throw up on television?
Yeah.
I used to like when they went behind
the
door.
That's me every night watching Trump.
But I know, but now it's like every TV show, they don't just leave it to you to, I mean, they now
imagine.
They have close-ups.
Yeah.
It's like, do we have to poop now? Can't we just move to the next scene? Nobody likes it. We're eating, folks. We're eating.
Wait. Speaking of Clinton.
We're eating here. Yeah.
We've eaten here.
In addition to the inauguration, didn't you host the correspondence dinner?
Oh, yeah. That was after the 3 months later.
I'm getting to that.
I don't know how much
your show
prep
you
read.
Do you want to hear the funniest part?
Yes.
I don't want to dominate. I mean, I don't want to, like,
so
take it away.
So many things to talk about. Between Michelle Wolf, between the congresswoman that said motherfucker, between the whole, like, language debate and, clutch the pearls, the lady. So,
but Louis C.K. that last week, what do you think of that?
What did he do?
Did you see the set?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God.
Did you see the set with Parkland?
I didn't see it. But I heard about it.
I couldn't watch it.
This is why Elaine Boozler, liberal activist, HuffPost author...
Yes.
I did
true.
Shit.
True that.
No, but you wrote a great piece for CNN, actually.
Thank you.
Elaine Boozler saying joke is no excuse for offensive behavior. Comedy is now the fall guy. Every time someone gets busted for a horrific statement, he or she suddenly announces it was a joke. No, you're not going to cloud up our art form with your ill-conceived oral feculence. So, yeah, you're right. You start with Louis
C.K. I got $5
joking.
Extra for feculence.
Thank you. You did. That is like a bright.
I know.
Words with friends or Scrabble. That
you have to be drunk to know that word.
Right.
Actually.
Sure.
Yeah. Don't blame comedy. Comedy's the good guy.
Yeah.
The bad guy.
Yeah.
Bad comedy is the bad guy. Then it's not comedy. It's just bad, like, you know, bad
right,
stuff.
Right. But no, Louis C.K. said, "What are you? Oh, shut up, Parkland kids. You should be doing Jello shots and finger banging each other." And I just was
you
like,
"You survived a school shooting because you pushed a fat kid in front of you."
How many people in that sentence want him dead?
I mean, that's a lot.
I mean, some stuff is personal for all of us, but I just met Fred Gutenberg.
Fred Gutenberg is such a delight.
He's the kindest, most amazing man. He came up. You were there, Elaine.
I was working Parkland that week.
But
I met Fred Monday. Valentine's Day was Wednesday. I had lunch with Fred Gutenberg and 30 friends from high school in Brooklyn in Florida because I was working Deerfield Beach in Parkland that week. And that Monday, you know, I got to meet Fred Gutenberg and told me about his kids and blah, blah, blah. And we all had lunch. 2 days later, he became a different person. His life changed forever.
Yeah. And I was saying you were at Politicon when I did that panel and he came up.
Oh, you were amazing.
He came up. Oh, please, thank you. But he came up to the thing. And he just was like, Stephanie, I'm Fred
Gutenberg.
And he just had this like look in his eyes that we just hugged for the longest time. And we had the greatest conversation. And what he, you know, tweeted about Louis C.K. He's like,
Come to my house and try the shots that killed my daughter. Yeah.
I hid from them. I had to run. Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I loved. He said, why don't you come to my house and try your new jokes? See how they go over.
Yeah.
And I get it. Many jokes always offend someone, and I get that. This just was tone deaf. It was just tone deaf. These kids, thank God, they get to testify to Congress because no one has made change.
Well, and that's the
ever.
Ultimate, that's punching down in a hard,
in a
hard, hard way,
way. Yeah.
Against someone that, like, the only people who think that these kids are bad are
the NRA.
No,
the NRA.
I'm sure you and I own. All of us have said something. I'm sure that's been offensive, or we've had to apologize.
I'm still waiting
for
someone to come up with a few of mine. You know, come on already. But this is ridiculous. People are still crying.
What about Kevin Hart? I mean,
going on tour. They're going on the "I Just Shot Myself in the Foot" tour. Kevin Hart and Louis C.K. and Kevin Spacey's doing the music, and Roseanne's going to be the MC. So I would buy a ticket for it. It's not over a dollar. I have to say it was funny. I put that on Twitter and someone said, and you can go on the "Oh Wow, I Sold 4 Tickets" tour. And I said, so funny. And I laughed and Bill laughed and I said, well, you got to admit that's funny. So, you know, when it's funny, it's funny. I don't mind, even if it's
not
me.
Funny.
It was funny.
You're lucky she fucking performs for you, bitches.
Well, it's only funny because I know.
Leave Elaine Boozler alone.
I know that I can sell 5 tickets. So that's why it's funny to me.
Stop it.
Okay,
comedy
so
legend.
We got it.
All right. Okay. Anyway, so Kevin Hart. So there's this divide, right? About
there is a
Ellen
divide.
DeGeneres.
Yeah.
forgiving him, and Don Lemon saying it's not your place as a black gay man.
Yes, you know, can't forgive him for us.
I mean, joking about, you know, being violent to your
beating up
black
your kid
gay son is,
dolls.
I think, particularly. It is resonant.
I do believe people are allowed to grow and change.
In the black community, what is
well,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
Well, that's the low down. I mean, you're always on the down. I'm sorry, the down low in the black community, because it's so unaccepted to be gay that, you know, guys are on the down low and it's a harder life. I do believe people are allowed to grow and change. I know Robert Byrd, Senator Byrd, probably was in the Klan in his early life, and then he became one of the best, you know, middle of the road and liberal senators we had. So you are allowed to grow and change. I guess clearly this is too soon.
Yeah.
Because they're just not wanting him to do it. So hopefully he has grown and changed, and he'll get a shot later on. You know, maybe so.
Yeah. I mean, and you had to go, like, is it because I'm a gay person that I went, oh, wow, like, talking about, like, you know.
Well, hitting, you're allowed to.
You know, hitting your son over the head with a dollhouse and hurt. Like, you just kind of go, oh, like. I don't know why, living in L.A., the story of that little boy resonates so much with me. That was it the boyfriend thought he was gay, and he was a little boy.
Yeah.
Little boy tortured him to death.
There's so
tortured
much
him
of
for
it.
Years.
Yeah.
That it just
There's so much yeah. of it. You just hate to hear. I mean, I don't laugh too much when people joke about, you know, being cruel to animals or beating a dog, beating a kid.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know. It's just not funny in the long run. You know.
Yeah.
So that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
Hold that thought, comedy legend Elaine Boozler. Travis, when I was laying on my Casper mattress doing my research on comedy legend Elaine Boozler, I thought, I don't want to get out of my Casper. I never want to stop reading about comedy legend Elaine Boozler.
You could do your Happy Hour podcast from your mattress.
We could do a John Lennon, Yoko Ono Happy Hour from my Casper mattress.
You'd be like in bed with Elaine Boozler.
Find me out. Well, yes. Or a hot lesbian as well.
Well, that too.
Elaine Boozler is straight and married, but just keep trying, for God's sakes.
That's never stopped you before.
Okay. The new year brings exciting new opportunities. Who knows who's going to end up in my Casper this year?
Let's hope somebody does.
Okay. Listen, get a great night's sleep every night. When you sleep on a Casper mattress, you are guaranteed to get the best night's sleep you've ever had. It's a whole new day when you wake up with a full night's sleep, right?
Mm-hmm. Means the world to me.
Yeah, switching to Casper is a no-brainer. Ooh, morning radio, good choice for you. All right. It is just, I can't explain it. There's the right combination of foams. You get just the right pressure alignment, just the right pressure relief. Casper ships to your door for free in a little tiny, how did they do that size box?
It's magical.
Yeah. That means that you get to try it 100 nights in your own home. You don't love it. If they come pick it up and refund you everything. I don't even know why I do that part, because I don't think that's ever happened. Whoever gives their Casper back.
No, once you have that Casper, you want to keep it.
Yeah, you're like out of my cold, dead, bloody hands. So take my Casper. It's New Year's resolution time again. Why not focus on the one you can actually do, the one that's easy to keep, like getting better sleep? Go to Casper.com. Use the code Miller for $50 toward the purchase of select mattresses. That's Casper.com. Type in the code Miller. Boom! $50 off. Casper.com. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska. Terms and conditions apply. Do it now. Casper.com. Don't forget, type in Miller. Now back to comedy legend Elaine Boozler. So what? But oh, wait, you were starting a story about...
Oh, yeah, about the inauguration.
Yeah, so, well, the correspondence dinner, too. We got into that, too.
Well, the inauguration was... Well, that was 30 days... I mean, 3 months before, because the correspondence always around May 1st, and they get sworn in January 30th. So it's the 19th. I'm hosting the Voters for Choice, and I have such a... I mean, the Constitution Hall gal, I have the worst migraine. I had them for 50 years. I go downstairs while I put Melissa Etheridge on, thinking maybe there's a roll left over from dinner, something dry and salty. The whole place is cleaned up and put away downstairs in Constitution Hall, except one guy with these steel gray glasses and a silver ponytail down to his waist, drinking a bottle of wine in the middle of this room all by himself, Bill Siddons. And I go, wow, he's good.
That's
and I
hot.
That paper, guy's winning.
I grab the paper bag and I go, he's good. Wow! Because I would, you know, migraines make you throw up. So that was my
that
first sight of my
line?
Husband.
Wow.
No, to myself. I went, oh, he's good. So that's how I saw him first. Next day, we go to Clinton's inauguration. I'm taking the bus, because that's who I am, and I have my tickets, I, you know, sent away, and, you know, obviously. I'm walking to the bus, and a limo pulls up, and a window comes down, and it's Graham Nash. She says, Elaine, where are you going? I said, to the bus, to go to the inauguration. He said, oh, my God, get in the car. And I get in the car, it's Graham and his wife, Susan, and Bill Siddons. And we spend the whole day together. Yeah. Okay, we go to the inauguration. It's 0 degrees. It was one of the coldest days in the world.
Yeah.
We fill in. They all hook up with their friends, Judy Collins and Neil Young.
As you do.
You know, well, that's who their group. So they all file.
That's your group.
Well, that was Bill's proof. They all file in, and then Bill's at the end, and I file in next to him at the end. And we're sitting there, and I don't even like him. I have no interest whatsoever. He's, you know, I'm not. But I'm peeking over when I'm crying to see if they're all crying, and they are all crying, and he's crying.
Yeah.
And then we're in, like, the second or third hour, and we are frozen stiff. And we're just shaking. And finally, we're waiting for it to end. And Bill says, Clinton says, "And now I would like to introduce to you the new poet laureate of the United States, Dr. Maya Angelou." Uh-huh. And we go, "Oh, okay, great." And she steps forward and she is so...
Let's hope it's a haiku and it's really short.
Yeah, that would have been so... A limerick would have saved our lives and saved the pneumonia. She works so slowly and so deliberately. And she stepped forward. She said, "I wrote this poem for the inauguration called On the Wings of Morning." And we go, "Oh, great."
It was years in the making, and it would be years in the telling.
Okay, great, great. And this is how deliberate she is. She says, "A tree." Oh, good, a tree, okay.
Oh, fuck. Fuck.
"A river." Okay, a river, a tree, and a river. Okay, okay.
We're in radio. We're like, too much dead air. Come on.
She goes,
"Edit."
"And a rock." Nothing. And I lean over to Bill and I say, "Walk into a bar." And he says, in his head, he told me later, he said, "I'm going to marry this woman." And he had never, he was introduced to me that day as someone who would never get married again, but he's a great date. That's what Susan Nash said. Literally, you know, 3 hours later.
All right, here would have been my joke. He wouldn't have married me because I don't like dick. But I would have said, paper, scissors,
No, but if you had heard her say a tree, a river, and a rock, you would have said walk into a bar, believe me. So that's how we got married. Maya Angelou.
Wow,
nice
wow, wow.
Yeah,
yeah, it was hilarious because I have friends that are just like music geeks. And they were like, "Bill Siddons is here."
I was like, well, you know what I do, which has saved my life? I can't get up early. You're crazy. I loved hosting for you until I couldn't get up anymore. And I just went, I can't get up anymore.
I know, remember that. They were like, "Yeah, Elaine loves you. She does not.
Which is ridiculous. You throw your career away because you're a lazy asshole. But anyway, so you have to do really, really early morning radio mm-hmm. to sell tickets on the road.
Right.
I would bring Bill and I would sit down exhausted, like not even awake. And I'd say, "Oh, my husband's in the, you know, he used to manage the doors." They said, "What, Bill Siddons?" And would he come in? I said, "Oh, let me ask him." He'd go in. I'd lay down on the couch in the lobby. I'd get my hour of sleep. He'd do all the interview. And then we'd go home and I'd sleep. So I never had to do the interview.
Win, win, win.
That's love.
Yeah, that is love. Yeah.
Right. Well, we learned that because you used to live down around the corner from where I live now.
I know.
In West Hollywood.
Isn't that something? Sweetser Avenue.
I know that neighborhood.
There is 1 degree of separation. So she hosted Balderdash, the game show. I hosted I've Got a Secret. I was on Balderdash.
I have a secret.
You had a big secret back then.
Yeah. Now everybody's so happy.
Ironically, the big ratings would have been, "I like pussy."
Hello, where's that bell when you need it?
Like the pussy.
Well, you know what I'm so mad at? Now, forget that we had to march and change everything. And these feminists don't need these young women. I'm not a feminist. Yes, you are.
Yes,
you're
you
working
are.
And you're allowed. We killed ourselves, right?
Yeah.
We killed ourselves.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes me maddest of all, after 50 years of having to diet to have any kind of career, now you're allowed to be fat. Fuck you, Hollywood. Fuck you, show business. Now you're allowed to be fat. Thank you. It's like someone would have said, "Oh, you didn't have to have your period all those years."
It's like that.
Really? That's going to happen?
It's like that fucking witch Glinda in The Wizard of Oz. You could have gone on any time you wanted to.
You could have
fucking whore.
You could have eaten pizza your whole career.
I will fucking cunt punch you in the next
goddamn
colorized film. You fucking...
Didn't they go to color for reals?
Yes.
But it was, right. You know, that beautiful Technicolor, which was so fake. Yes. It was wonderful. That's how I do my makeup. Look, my cheeks
I'm
are
colorized.
Technicolor. I just, too much. I do
but
have a
the magic,
setting.
The magic is still alive, as we were talking about with you and Bill, particularly when, as I said, it's raining in my kitchen because the pipe burst. And
oh, yeah.
We didn't have any water. And you said,
our heater broke a week ago. We've actually had to have sex all week.
You
I can't
fuck?
Believe it. We've had to fuck all week.
Wow.
Just because it's the living room's 48 degrees.
Just for warmth. Like Neanderthals are like, yeah. or wolves.
Fully clothed, of course, because it's 58, you know, 48 degrees. But do you know how we usually sleep? I am, because I'm heavy, I'm so hot all the time. He's a skinny guy. He's cold all the time. He sleeps because I literally have the air conditioner on zero. He sleeps in, you know, 2 pairs of pajamas and socks and 5 blankets.
That's
and
love.
I'm naked. And it looks like if you came in, it would be a crime scene. He just, now what happened here? He broke in and she, oh, what?
I'm sorry. You're I was going to go with a, did she put the lotion on its arms?
On okay. its arms.
Is right. I was going to go notion. Silence of the Lambs.
I know.
Something.
I got it.
Is there a poodle, see, when you is there a poodle in the basket? Because it's Delaney Boozler. No, there so there might be a poodle in the basket.
There could be a poodle in the, a rescued poodle in the
yes.
basket.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Precious. Tell her to put the lotion on the arms. Okay.
Yes.
Delaney Boozler, comedy legend.
I just want to watch the wine take effect. Like, see if you slow down no, or anything.
Thunk.
Thunk. Doink.
It actually
no,
fuels
we have
her.
A, as does we're it? Taping this tonight, we have a fucking goddamn Orange Hitler speech.
Oh, yeah, she's doing
I
good.
Can't,
she's fine.
Right? I yeah, can't even believe I the know. Networks are carrying this authoritarian bullshit.
Why are they carrying it? Just because he declares that he put together a pack of lies again? If that was a drinking game, the whole country would drop dead. Yeah. We'd all die right. from alcohol poisoning.
Right. I just figured we were pre-gaming the speech.
You know what? They owe it. Yes. Pre-game. They owe it to the country to have either a meter or someone who, you know, a brilliant person sitting yes. in a box in the corner who says, wrong, wrong, yeah. lie, lie. Do it.
Real-time
fact
check.
Do it. Really? Do, why not?
I feel like everyone should. Because they rolled it out for Sarah Huckabee Sanders on CNN, I believe it was.
Yeah.
No, when she did one of her press conferences. After
and they did
they,
that?
They did a real-time fact check on her.
Or yeah. they could delay it for 15
Chiron.
Minutes and
we
have
had,
all yeah. the... Yeah, Chiron.
Alan Zweibel did Sexy Liberal New York one time. because, oh, I know, because Lewis Black was stuck on the turnpike.
With Gloria Allred at the Friars Club.
Right, exactly.
The turnpike.
But anyway, but he was saying, I'm an Emmy-winning writer, and I watch TV, and I just yell, fuck! Fuck, 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 fuck.
I know.
And I said, wouldn't it be a service if the Chiron just said that? Just yeah. fuck, 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 fuck.
Well,
fucking
would,
lie,
you know,
fuck,
we'd
fuck, fuck,
get
fuck,
it
fuck,
out
fuck.
For us. What, we're, it's the fuck chickens. Fuck, 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 fuck. What kind of eggs are those? Fucking eggs. Those are some fucking eggs. That's what you get from the fuck chicken.
Wait,
they
wait.
Should just, you know, literally wait 15 minutes, fact check, then air it and have, you know, wrong, this was 12 million.
Yeah.
Wrong, this
otherwise,
was,
this is Pravda. It's
I mean,
like,
he's standing.
Yeah. Here's Dear Leader's lies.
He's standing with the troops saying, no one's given you a raise in 10 years. Lie, you're getting 10%.
Oh,
lie, it was 1.6 mm-hmm. or 2.2.
2.
And they all have to hear it. And
oh
they're just
God.
Going, what? We know more than that. You know, when I entertained the troops, you were not allowed to do political jokes to the troops.
Yeah.
I opened with some and no one laughed at all. They looked straight ahead. And then I moved on to the act and it was great. And afterwards I said, why didn't you laugh? And he said, we are not allowed to show any reaction to anything political. We are an apolitical branch of this government.
Wow.
And that's fair.
And I said, oh, good. I'm going to take them out from now on because I don't want you to have to sit there. He said, I wanted to laugh. I said, well, I'm not going to torture you. That's fine. Now I know. No one said it. To their credit, they didn't say it
we
to us.
We just did a story today. The troops' morale in Afghanistan is so low. They've resorted to asking Fox News if they can somehow
on Fox
have
News.
The president like pay attention to them and realize their mission's important and they shouldn't. They have work they need to complete. And
right.
This is the bizarro right. world.
And they don't
in.
Know what's you're going home. Wow, I'm going to see my baby, my new baby that I haven't seen. Oh, you're not going home. Oh, I'm not going to see my. How do you serve under yeah. that? This yeah. is the commander in chief. And the other thing is, you know, to tweet your intentions and when you don't use your cabinet is why the world cannot rely
yeah.
on us.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand the reason we never had World War III is because of NATO.
Yeah.
NATO is the reason there wasn't a World War III. Mm-hmm. You don't turn your back on
I
that.
Know. No, and I heard from one person that, and I'm sure there's more anecdotal stuff, but it's just not funny, but like heartbreaking about this shutdown that he said, I know a government worker that's on the spectrum and he killed himself after the day Trump said they could be out for years.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I mean, the shit that he says has consequences.
Well, the
we
news
were saying,
hour.
Like, you know, three people have died in national parks
right.
because, you know,
right.
they decided to.
Right, because there's no safety back up there.
Air traffic controllers and
TSA is
are not being paid. What could possibly fucking go wrong?
They're calling in sick. And the NewsHour every night talks to some citizens, regular right. Americans, so they can talk about the effect on them for reals. And when you hear it, you go, oh, my God. Because it's people do. I mean, they did a study last year that said people are like they have $700. The majority of America
yes.
has $700 saved for an emergency. After that, it's over.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand how people live. They don't have the money to coast along.
No, thank you. By the way, I heard an interview today. Thank you. Instead of telling us how fucking Trump voters feel every 5 minutes, she was saying, oh, he wants us to make adjustments? What adjustments would he like us to make? I mean, yes. I have lupus. I can't have my medicine, but you know, we have to
clinical trials are done. People have to register their businesses waiting for a nonprofit EIN number. They can't get that, so they can't pay their workers. The banks can't talk to them. The people that they've been doing on NewsHour has been fascinating. And I didn't even realize, it's like a woman saying, well, you know, I manage our finances and this is why it's so hard. Now I have to call the landlord, tell him the rent's going to be late. We don't have that. I have to get a deal from the credit card company that they won't call us in arrears. She said, but here's the other thing. Our late fees and penalties for being late on everything, yes, my husband will get the money back that they held up, but we're not going to get our late fees and penalties back.
Right.
That's our extra
people
money.
That lose their houses in the meantime.
But that's our money for our kids to play soccer. So now they're not going to have soccer this winter, and that's what they look forward to. Because that extra money is now going to go to penalties and interest because we're late on everything. There's a real effect.
Well, and also talking about jobs, there's one of the stories on NewsHour that we saw last night. A woman was talking about they started a construction company.
Yeah, she couldn't get her nonprofit status.
She couldn't get a tax ID number.
Right.
So she couldn't
open a bank account, couldn't do payroll.
So they were literally paying everyone in cash.
Yeah.
She's like, do you know how hard it is to run a construction company?
Wait, she should have finished that sentence. You know how hard it is to run a construction company on cash when you're not Italian? That's what you don't write to me.
When you're not mobbed up like Trump. What? Elaine, here's the thing I was just going to say.
Okay.
Since we just brought up suicide, because that's what you do on a comedy happy hour.
Always.
Hi, everybody.
Always.
Hi, everybody. I'm Steel Slats in the morning. Okay. That's my new radio name.
Steel Slats. Perfect. Okay. Well, then let me give you $5 billion in your bra.
No, but here's the thing about comedy legends like Elaine Boozer.
Oh,
is
golly.
You are
we don't
not,
exist. We're just legends.
No. You're not just funny. To people at your level, there's always these other levels. It's not just what you do for liberal causes and dogs and whatever. In the HBO documentary Come Inside My Mind, Robin Williams' friends and family share fond memories of the late comedian. One of Williams' best friends, comedian Elaine Boozer, appears in the movie to reminisce about her time spent living with Williams in Los Angeles in the late 70s, beginning of their comedy careers. But you said something on Facebook when Robin passed that I just thought, like, is so apropos for all of us right now struggling in the world. And I mean, I've lost friends to drug addiction, to like people that have anything, illness, substance stuff. In Trump's America, it's all worse. It's all worse.
Everything's worse when it's bad. You know, a rising tide lifts all boats. Right. A sinking tide sinks all boats.
Right, right.
And it is worse.
But you wrote on Facebook, you said, what I want to say is this. From all the PMs on here for years, I know how many of my peeps are truly suffering financially, health-wise, career-wise, work-wise, keeping their head above water, water-wise, soul and heart-wise. And I want to say through Facebook and Twitter and the media, they make it seem like everyone's life is better, richer, happier, more successful than yours. It simply isn't true. Life is hard, and it's hard for everyone. And
really.
You made you cry. Okay, I'm sorry.
I made me cry.
Yeah.
Well, because you read it so well. But it's true. Everything looks so much better. It's always the grass is greener. And it's not. You have to know that.
Right. Someone said to me, don't judge the inside of your life on the outside of someone else's.
Oh, that's brilliant. Wow.
But it's true, right? Yeah. I mean, it's...
Well, you look at Kate Spade and
Anthony
Bourdain. And you go, what didn't they have that they needed, you know? I'll tell you the worst. I love Marshalls, so I'm at Marshalls in New York right before Christmas, before I came back and went to your amazing Christmas party.
Uh-huh.
So you know how they have all the tchotchkes you wouldn't know.
Yeah,
but,
I shop.
Okay, well, we'll tell you.
I don't leave my house, but...
Yeah, I know. But and if you did, you
ask Amazon what I've been doing.
There's a great Marshalls right down the street from
here. Oh, fantastic.
It's really
fun. No, I have been there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, so they have all these, like, you know, tchotchke things when you're in line, like, oh, I'll grab it. I look and I see this beautiful little black and white notebook, and in gold letters it says, live it! ! I thought, I should grab that and give it to someone. They marked it down to $5. Live it! And it was a beautiful little notebook, and I look, and it's Kate Spade. I mean, the irony, but it's like you just don't know what people are going through. So don't think you're not doing as well.
Yeah.
Don't think it's not good enough for you. It's hard for everyone.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of stuff about that, too, with the age of social media. because we are all putting out.
Well, you do put your best foot forward. I'm not going to tell you.
Right.
You know, I mean, I say to people, you don't understand. You know, Facebook is my business card, not my diary.
Yes.
So I don't put up, you know, I miss my mother.
She's I'm not on Facebook personally or Twitter.
Good
my
for
show
you.
Is, but
I know.
Like,
you're the luckiest woman in the world.
No, but I mean, I reveal all kinds of shit on this show. I'm like, I don't, you know, I'm not.
No, you're in the real world.
Yeah.
You know, we're not in the real world. I mean, if I had more, you know, stuff to do in the real world, like work, I wouldn't be on them either. But
listen,
you know.
But you know what? I have to say, it's interesting you bring up after.
What?
All of this, that quote you just read, my Christmas party, Jane Wagner has got to be, well, she and Lily, but the kindest, warmest,
oh my goodness,
most supportive, loving people. Like, they have been my friends and mentors my whole life. Jane left me these most amazing messages, phone messages after the party, but basically saying, I was just reading a piece about you. New York Times, comedy master who hasn't gotten her due, Elaine Boozler. Jane just left this amazingly generous. She always grabs me and goes, "Your show's so important."
She's amazing.
I'm like, Jane, I know you're like won Tonys, but you're off here. But anyway, you know, she just left a message that was so like the sisterhood that we're seeing in this new Congress with women. We love you so much, and we think you should be so much bigger than you are, and we should have a bigger platform. And how do we help? And what can we do? And
what can they do?
You
they
know,
could
I mean,
help.
But I mean, I just thought like, but I thought, okay. When Larry King asked Ms. Boozler on CNN, why is comedy considered not for women in the New York Times? The question answered itself. Ms. Boozler's career clearly suffered from systemic sexism, the impossible bind that demanded women command the stage without being too well commanding. Same thing fucking Hillary just went through.
Yeah.
But I thought,
it's all
first
same.
Of all, like, I look at you and I go, oh my God, like, you're way bigger than I am.
Oh,
and
you're
yet
crazy.
You go, like, no, here's no, this no, story no, no. about you no. not. Being as
well,
big as you
is.
Should be.
Well, because you know, we are where we are.
Yeah.
What you do changes the world. I mean, you give people... No, there's not a lot of it at all. I mean, I think it's you and Rachel Maddow, and that's about the only voice we have. So thank
Somebody
goodness
said their
for
little
that.
Girl said, why do we get all our news from lesbians?
Just because they're smart.
Because we're not focused on penis worshiping.
Yeah, because
people.
They're smart.
We're not walking sperm receptacles.
They have time to read. They're not trying to get laid. So there you go.
No, but I mean,
it's impossible.
But,
you know,
did that resonate with you? Because I feel like the whole women's march and all of this was a backlash on seeing the most qualified woman ever get beaten, albeit with a lot of fucking help from Russia and WikiLeaks
right.
and
But she didn't
FBI.
Get beaten in the popular vote, so
no,
at least we have that.
Right. So why are we asking, are we ready for a woman president? Well,
please.
We just fucking elected one.
I wrote a piece literally in Huffington Post 8 years ago. And this was the title, Is America Ready for a Woman President? Go to Hell. Just for asking the question.
But don't you feel like, I beg to differ, because you are a legend. You've had, like, first of all, get Elaine Boozler timeless, because you get all of the iconic specials, Party of One, Broadway Baby, Top Tomato, Live Nude Girls, and the new CD, The 50-50 Club.
And it supports animal rescue. So
yes, and
there
Amazon.
You go. I'll never make a penny ever.
And doing good on it.
So, but talk about like judging yourself off others. And I mean, trust me, we all go through it. I'm like, I didn't become Ellen or Rosie or Jon Stewart.
Thank
I didn't
God.
Whatever.
Thank
like,
God you didn't become Ellen or Rosie.
But my point is, did you feel that at the time that this sort of Elizabeth Warren's getting it now? Like, oh, is she likable?
That's what happens.
Is she likable?
That's what happens.
Like Hillary?
Yeah,
like,
likable. Do you want to have a beer with her? I really highly get, you know, beg you to go to the Huffington Post and pull up the old article I wrote, which is America Ready for a Woman President? I am telling you, I never blogged there. I did real researched articles. It took me about a week, and I researched the world on female leaders. We are so far behind. I mean, you know, when we were still in three digits for years, China had female empresses running everything. And I mean, even Pakistan, which is an Arab country where women are covered, they had Benazir Bhutto three times as a leader. They still elected a woman. I mean, come on. We're the only country in the world that needs to be weaned. They can't take it. It is. We are so juvenile and infantile, maybe because we're newer than the rest of them. I don't know. But this country would rather, you know, go to war than vote for a woman.
Yeah.
And that's the sad, sad thing of it. I mean, look at Britain right now. Don't they look at that? And Angela Merkel has been a brilliant leader for years.
Yeah.
Can't this country look that far and say, wow, they've been so good at it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's great.
Don't you feel like there's that thing I mean, because again, as like big as you are, as like successful as you've been, you still go there. You see that story, like why isn't she? Well, you know,
because
what,
that's the way
and
the
they
world
go,
works.
Oh, sexism, and oh, we both did Larry King. You used to do Larry King all the time, right?
Elaine. There it is. I did Larry King for so many years, and I was this person who wasn't a dresser or a. I just like Jay Leno wore one outfit for his entire comedy career, that blue denim shirt and jeans, and George Carlin, black turtleneck, gray pants. To me, it was a uniform.
Right.
So I had this black shirt I loved and didn't realize how many times I wore it. And Larry King, that son of a bitch, one night he went, I just want to do a little clip of you. Been on 23 times. Look, I had the shirt on 20 times. And I went, oh, because I'm a woman, I can't wear the same shirt. What if it was a black suit?
Right. A man, it would be. Right, exactly.
But I almost died of shame. It was really
funny.
Didn't
you love this whole, like, the congresswoman saying at a private event, piece of the motherfucker, Nancy Pelosi going, oh, if she were a man,
right.
would you be saying
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Well,
and
know
is
my
it
line
any worse than
was?
What Donald Trump says?
Yeah. You know what my line on that was? I said, the man who cheated on all three of his wives when they were pregnant certainly cannot be labeled a motherfucker.
Hi! Fair. That's Elaine Boozler, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go.
That's the shit.
Did you see her apology today?
No.
She said, you know.
I apologize for the distraction,
that's
not for
what
I said.
Good. I said, don't give distractions. But she said, I don't apologize for being who I am. And
but the distraction is right. It's true. It made me sad only because it takes us off the issues. You have to keep your eye on what he's doing.
And speaking of the sisterhood, because you and I were saying this, like, I feel like a lot of us female comedians are very supportive of each other. There are some we know that,
well,
maybe not.
They,
little
you
mean
know,
girl, mean girls. But
you're
like,
a mean girls, but there's a lot of great girls.
Exactly. But my point is, I loved, did you see AOC's tweet today, Alexandria?
No. What did she
Cortez?
Say?
She said, you know, Representative Tlaib, I got your back. The Bronx and Detroit ride together.
Beautiful.
And with a, like a
that is
fist.
So, I mean, you know what we had to put up with for years. Taking two steps back, apologizing. I would do jokes and look down and take a step back. I'm apologizing. I mean, this is all body language. It was pointed out to me, you know, 40 years ago. But literally for the first 20 years, guys would, you know, in the interviews, aren't men intimidated by a beautiful, funny woman? And I would go, oh, well, you know, well, blah, you know, and apologize until one day I went, no. And the next time someone said, aren't men intimidated by a beautiful, funny woman? My answer was, not real men. And they go, oh, well, I mean, I'm not, but I go, no, not real men. And every answer turned it around.
Yeah.
And that's who you became. And that's what you started to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, my good friend is Eliza Schlesinger. Okay.
Yeah.
I drove her home one night and I said, how's it going? You know, how you doing? I mean, she's so young. It's her new world of comedy.
Yeah.
And everything she said to me were the sexist things they asked me 46 years ago. They're asking her the same thing. Aren't men? I said, here, I'm passing all my good answers down onto you. Well, feel free to use them. This is insane.
We just joked about me hosting I've Got a Secret. My secret was, I like pussy. But that was a thing that I went through in, you know, 95 when, you know, Disney gave me my own late night show and they marketed it to men.
Yeah.
You know, and
right.
That
it was
my...
so alive and wonderful.
No, but I never lied. I just...
I know.
I remember Disney executives call me in a sweat one night after my show at KFI, and they were like, did you just come out on the radio? I was like...
Oh.
I was like, no, we're just talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, or stuff that we always talk about. I mean, you know, I was always gay-friendly, but, you know, I got to a point where I'm like, you can't just say I'm for this. You know, I am this.
The more you claim yourself, the stronger the art becomes.
Right.
When you're hiding half of who you are or the essence of you.
But, I mean...
The art doesn't dig deep enough.
Right.
So
but,
you
I mean,
have to.
But that's... But you talk about whether, you know, the questions you got and the same thing. About, oh, like if I don't appeal to men. I remember we started this radio show 15 years ago. The ads were making men rise in the morning.
Oh, that's
and
what they do.
That's not
that's
me.
Amazing.
That was my idea.
I know.
But you
I know.
Go, like, okay, well, but same questions you got. And I thought, like, and I remember our first ratings period, Travis, you might have been here then after that. I remember a program director called me. He said, Steph, what about you with another hot woman? Did you think exactly was going to turn men off? Because your ratings are better than ever. But I mean, it's our fears. It's not reality.
It's what it is ingesting their stupidity and feeling you have to address it. You don't. They don't get to troll you. Now we know that word. They don't get to take you off course, and they don't get to intimidate what you know you're doing correctly.
Right.
And that's what we all went through. And I didn't know it at the time. But once I put my foot down and said, not real men. you know, right. Everything changed. I mean, but look, it's, I don't believe it's ever going to change. I was on stage when Me Too hit and someone asked a question, said, do you think it's going to change? No, I said, I don't think so. I was molested by D.W. Griffith. It really doesn't change.
No, you were not Elaine Boozler, Legends.
No, he was nice
to me. But you were a piece. I was correspondence dinner comedian. Michelle Wolf was no bully.
No, of course
been
not.
Been there, done that. The first thing you need to know is that... yeah, every comedian who entertains there gets trashed.
Oh, every comedian, what? Even if you blow
Aren't
the roof
they
off.
They the pussies that went, they're okay, the... no more comedians.
Yeah, do you believe this?
They she made a joke about a smoky talk. Eye.
Well, but here's the thing. I just went, thing. Here's the thing, here's Daffy. The thing is this.
I thought you were doing Giuliani.
Yeah, that was full Giuliani.
Oh, I'd rather have a needle
thing.
In
it's
my
It's a sculptor.
Oh, here's the thing. The thing is this. Yes, you always look like a bully when the person isn't there because it looks like you're doing something behind someone's back. The fact that he is such a coward that he can't laugh at himself, which shows right. It's scientifically proven a total lack of intelligence when you can't laugh at yourself or you can't. Look, I mean, I did Clinton's first, you know, correspondence dinner. Do you know what those first 30 days were? Waco. Killing, you know, women and children. Yeah. That blew up. Janet Reno, he said, I'm going to pass health care in the first 30 days. He didn't. And then Tailhook, the huge Navy scandal. Yeah. It was the worst first 90 days in history. They never said a word to me. Don't say this. Don't say that. Do what you want. I took on all of it in my stand-up in a funny way. And he was there holding his head, laughing, blushing. And then he got up and did his answer. That's what the spirit of this is supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that this coward cannot be the butt of a joke, cannot take it, cannot laugh at himself. So, of course, she looked like a bully. She's hitting a guy that's not there. Totally not her fault.
Yeah.
Totally not. And so he can't show up. So they have to change what it's been for, you know, decades.
All right. So comedy legend Elaine Boozler, let's just for a second before we go. I have to say, it's interesting because everyone... that I know sees you as a comedy legend, but I'm like, wow, your whole, we just talked about you and Robin Williams living together and being very good friends. I didn't even know this. You were a doorman at the Improv in New York. That's where you met Andy Kaufman.
We lived together for two and a half years.
Romantically.
Oh, yeah.
Then
we were friends for the whole rest of his life till the day I watched his eyes close and then open again because he couldn't get off. But yeah. I know, so beautiful.
Yeah, don't you hope that he's actually Trump, that there's a mask and it's like...
You know, when those
Thank
memes,
you very much.
When those memes started, it was so wonderful, I wish.
I think I started that.
Oh, that's great.
I was like, please let this be Andy.
Wouldn't it have been wonderful? Yes. But unfortunately, I was there the day he actually exited, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
But boy, that's just the greatest guy on earth.
Yeah. But you talk about, like, your comedy education, not just Kaufman... Freddie Prinze, Jay Leno, Larry David, Richard Lewis, Richard Belzer, Jimmy Walker, who, did you also live with Jimmy? He was your manager.
Well, that was kind of funny. He was Jimmy Walker at the time, you know, JJ Dynamite. It was huge.
Right. Was and that Dynamite? His,
that was
him managing you?
Dynamite. Okay. So his manager, was it Dynamite?
That's an old joke. Okay. All right.
Anyway, he wanted to be a manager, so he had his manager kind of sign us all to Ebony Genius Management, which I still have headshots that say Ebony Genius Management. But he actually managed Jay Leno, me, David Letterman.
Right.
And some writers. It was amazing. It wasn't really management, and we all had to struggle to get away from his horrible manager a year later, who turned into the guy who married Helen Kushnick, became Helen Kushnick.
My gosh.
Kathy Bates played her in the Late Night Wars movie.
Maybe the two worst.
Jerry and Helen Kushnick, possibly the two worst people who ever lived. And you can sue me because I have proof. You won't win. So, yeah, kind of got away with that. But no, Andy and Robin were, you know, that was kind of, it's amazing I'm sane. And,
What an amazing time. I mean, when you think of all you guys coming up at the same time.
Yeah,
I mean,
the guys couldn't have been. That was my actual first family. My actual first family Those guys to have, you know, 10 brothers.
These are my family. Yeah.
Oh, isn't it so wonderful?
Family.
She's not going to have the baby.
Family.
I'm stuck in Greystoke, Legend of the Apes, but that's
Just family. Well, Jane Wagner told me that you have to give me her email address because we're going on Judge Judy.
Oh.
And she said, get it from Stephanie. Get, because we were standing up without phones. And she said, get it from Stephanie. What? Okay, this is a true story. Do we have time?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, like 20 years ago.
We have time. I'm sitting in my fucking basement. Really? Like who?
I'm trying to make it sound
I'm
like
sorry.
We're on the clock.
The producer's telling me to wrap.
I know we're in the basement, but I didn't know when the killer was coming down to bury my body. So do we have time?
You're already in the basement. You already showed up
close
in my
to the
basement.
Grave. Yes.
Can't get any lower than this.
No. This is it.
There's no sub-basement like
nope.
Macy's?
No.
Oh, darn. Okay, so 20 years ago, I walk into this, and you know, I'm young, you know, maybe 25 years ago, and I walk into this very ritzy shoe store on Sunset Boulevard,
ooh.
And there's Lily Tomlin and Jane Wagner. Well, I am gobsmacked, you
yes.
know, totally struck, and I try on this pair of shoes, and Lily looks over, and she says, you have to buy those. And I said, oh, no, I don't, you know, they were $400. My rent was $285. So you can imagine it was like buying
a car.
Doesn't work.
Yeah,
that doesn't work
Donald
at all.
Trump says you can make adjustments.
Yeah, you don't have to eat because you can't be fat in these years. So I'm saying, no, I don't really want them. They're ugly and they're uncomfortable. Lily goes, no, I'm buying them in black. I'm telling you, buy those shoes. What do you do? Lily Tomlin tells a new comedian to buy these shoes.
You buy the shoes.
I said the magic ruby slippers,
yeah.
Elaine Boozler.
Yeah, I buy the $400 shoes. For 20 years, they're sitting in my closet. I can't wear them. They hurt like hell. I can't stand up. And I realized this bitch, Lily Tomlin, told a stand-up to buy shoes she couldn't stand up in.
Yeah.
So she could be the only comedian
that's right.
in the world.
That's Lily.
I couldn't stand up.
Fucking
what am
a
I? A stand-up.
Yeah.
I couldn't wear them. And not only that, every time I walked in my closet for 20 years, I saw those shoes and I went, that fucking Lily Tomlin owes me $400.
Did you tell her that at the party?
$400. So five years ago. She asked me to do an elephant benefit with her to free Billy from the LA Zoo.
Yes.
Of course.
When elephants weep, she narrated that.
I know. Well, she's nicer to elephants than comedians that can't stand up
in
their
shoes.
Right, I understand.
Listen, she's competitive. She's
horrible.
Not Lily Tomlin for nothing.
She is such a bitch. Oh,
mm-hmm.
my God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I go to do the elephant benefit, and then I walk over and I say, Lily, you owe me $400. You made me buy those shoes. I never wore them. I couldn't stand up. I almost wasn't a stand-up anymore. I didn't have the money. I see them every day in my closet. It makes me choke, and I want my money, and I don't want those shoes. And she said, I loved them. They just wore out just now. And I said, oh, really? Well, I'll give you mine. And she said, oh, wrong size. I said, well, who wears an 8? And she said, Jane. I said, great. I'm giving Jane the shoes, and I go to my car because I brought them, and
really?
I throw them at Lily, and she didn't give me the money, so... You bring me over to Jane and
you
Lily.
Know, she's a fucking freeloader and
please.
A goddamn
Lee, a mooch.
This could be
competitive
the best judge
bitch.
Judge ever.
A mooch. So Jane walks over to me at your party and we start talking and I bring up the shoes. Now, this is how brilliant she is. Yeah, of course I bring up the shoes. I'm a Jew who wants $400 back. Hey, I'm allowed to say it. Louis C.K. is not. So that's how
do you
comedy
take Venmo?
Works. Well, do I take Venmo? So this is how fucking brilliant Jane Wagner is. She twisted around in such a believable way to me, and I wasn't even drinking yet, that I made them buy the shoes, and I owe them $400. So I said, let's take it on to Judge Judy. And she said, I think I have it in there. Get my email from Stephanie. So
they don't give those Emmys out for nothing.
Not for nothing. So
this is the brilliance of my parties. I remember giving one in, like, I don't know, 1997, 98. KBC days.
That was before my time.
I went to that one with Meryl Marco. We came together.
Yes.
Yes, it was
But
great.
I remember someone said, you invited Marsha Clark and Gloria Allred to the same party during the OJ trial?
Well,
they're going to fucking, like, they're going to get into a fist fight.
We were hoping
they're
for
gonna,
mud wrestling, jello wrestling.
A scotch bottle off at your goddamn kitchen, and they're going to go at each other.
Did they?
No.
See, that's
it
no
was
fun.
Very really.
You should have thrown him in, like, the pit down here.
Disappointed.
Should have thrown him in the basement with some jello. We would have had a good party.
Now, and now it's too late. They get along fine now.
Mm-hmm. This party was so... Fuck. Your party was... Because she drags people over to people they're going to want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that's instead of... I would never would have gone over to Lily and Jane. I would have hid in the doorway like I did with Meryl Mark.
Oh, I grabbed you like a kitten by the
you
scruff
did.
Of your
it
neck.
It was great. Just like a mommy cat.
Elaine Boozler.
Took me right over. That was it.
I just talked to Jane. I don't talk to Lily.
Oh.
Because everyone wants to talk to Lily.
Lily was wearing Flashdance welder glasses because she just had some eye...
Cataract surgery?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
she looked like she was ready for her close-up.
I said, if you come
DeMille.
Here next time, you need to do some welding for me and a pole dance. Is that wrong to say to a national treasure?
No, she is a national treasure. Hope everyone knows we were kidding. When
we're
we said
kidding,
she was
of course.
A mooch.
Can I just ask you one thing
best.
Before you go?
Okay.
First of all, you're... Okay, hang on.
Can you ask
your
one
mom
thing
and
start it with
your
first
mom,
of all?
Your dad... Okay,
Believe the bio.
You're Jewish from the 718, from the Brooklyn. But you also, your
dad
was an acrobat.
No, that's all fake.
Oh, that's fakey.
When I was young, I saw a Dizzy Dean movie, great baseball player. And his wife said, "Hun, how come you gave all these reporters different stories?" And he said, "Well, baby, they all wanted an exclusive." So I just make up stuff.
Travis, good job.
I thought
on the research. Her father was not an acrobat. Her mother was not a
ballerina.
According
to the song "Crazy Ex-Girlfriend," your father was a banker.
Well, that was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. That was just Crazy
Ex-Girlfriend. Oh, my God. What's the camp you went to? Camp?
Kvetcha.
Well, that was Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
Camp Kvetcha.
I didn't really go. Kvetcha.
Camp Kvetcha.
Kvetcha.
That was fantastic.
Girls.
I watched the
Thank you.
I
it was a lot of song. Fun. Oh, my God. That woman, Oleen Brush McKenna, who created Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with Rachel.
That show is
she's
amazing.
Amazing. Yeah.
There, but you went to Camp Kvetcha a young
Yes. Tova Feldshuh
Jewish
and I went
Brooklyn
to Camp
youth.
Kvetcha. Yes, with our tissues under our breasts so they wouldn't fall. And a tissue in her sleeve.
Okay, can I just say one other fun fact I love about you?
Your
first appearance on Tonight Show was with Helen Reddy.
Yes.
Because for your work and my work in feminism, can we just say, I am
woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore, and I know too much to go back and pretend. She was. I just visited her in the actor's home.
What?
Yeah.
She's in the actor's home?
Let me tell you something. You know when you hear, actor's home? I want to go there now. It is fabulous.
I do, too. Like I was like, when can we go?
Have you been?
Listen, Travis, Chris and I used to say, when can we go to the old radio person home?
But
we're all going together.
This is like a Ritz-Carlton, the actor's home. It's absolutely magnificent.
I want to go to there.
I want to go to there, too, Miss.
Let's go to there.
Miss 30 Rock. I want to go to there.
Let's go to there.
I'm telling you, it's fabulous and gorgeous. And they have these pools and big actors donate. I mean, it's all these musician statues in the on the way in.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gorgeous. It's the Ritz-Carlton. So I got to visit her and thank her for the millionth time. And this is what she said to me. Carson wouldn't put me on because he hated the young us. He hated it. He wanted women to be, you know, Madonna whore. He was such an old guy.
Yeah.
You know, Joan Rivers he loved because she didn't skew his vision of woman. Right. She was brilliantly funny, but of course it was the haranguing housewife, get the jewelry, I hate sex, and that was his vision of a woman. He didn't know what I was, so, you know, fine. No knock to Joan. She was amazing. But anyway, so not only did Helen take me on because Toadie Fields told her to, who I had never met. I had never met Toadie, and Helen said, should I put her on? Toadie said, haven't seen her, heard she's great, put her on. So thank you for that, Miss.
Sisterhood, man.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I got to say, let me just do two personal quotes of Elaine Boozler before we go. I've never been married, but I tell people I'm divorced so they won't think something's wrong with me.
Right.
I know what men want. Men want to be really, really close to someone who will leave them alone.
Well, that's true.
You are.
So this is what Helen
goddamn
said to
seer
me.
And a legend.
Okay. So Helen said, when she took me on the road after that, I went from zero money to big money. And she said, you always have one hand up and one hand down. This is the hand to take the hand of the person who's helping you, like me. And this hand down is to help the next person coming up.
Yes.
And I just thought she is the most beautiful creature ever.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is actually beautiful.
It's beautiful.
That is really. And I thought so in the spirit
of.
I don't know if you cried watching the swearing in of this Congress of all these beautiful women of color in colorful clothes and hijabs and Nancy Pelosi getting the gavel back.
And
I thought like.
Not backing down.
Yeah. And you were one of the original feminists when it was a dirty word. Yep. And so was Helen Reddy. And let's go out on. Let's just do it. Let's just do it. Elaine Boozler started as a singer, ladies and gentlemen. Come on, man.
Luckily, there's no tape of that.
I am woman. Hear me roar. In numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back and pretend.
It's not your fault. I opened for her for years, so I know all the lyrics of everything.
And I've been down there on the floor. No one's ever gonna hear me down again. Yes, I am wise, but it's wisdom more to pay. Yes, I've paid the price, but look how much I've gained. If I had to, I can do anything. I am strong.
Strong.
I am invincible.
I am woman.
Oh, sorry.
Yay! Elaine fucking Boozler, ladies and gentlemen. worship her like we do. Go get her
box set on Amazon.
Yes.
It doesn't have a Jewish accent, and it's called Timeless. Yay! And yay. It saves the animals. And, hooray!
And she is timeless, and she is Elaine motherfucking Boozler.
Right,
everybody.
I love that billing. I'm having cards made.
Happy.
I am.
We love
happy
you, baby.
Happy New Year. I love you. I love you. And everyone in this room, including the puppy.
Yes, I'm wise. But it's